The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Not to, you know, polish our own trumpet.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Neil's watching The Walking Dead at the moment. It's your second attempt, but it's your first time getting through a few seasons of it, right?
Yeah, I'm on four. No.
You just finished three, didn't you? Because you were giving out about the finale of that. You were getting very upset.
Yeah, I think, I'm on four.
Mm. Yeah, so anyway, Neil was watching The Walking Dead the other day, and I just turned to him and said, if I got infected, you know, it's zombie apocalypse and all that, that's, you know, for context, not just infected with anything. If I got infected and, you know, you had to essentially put me down because of it, you know, would you be able to? And he went, easily. That's how quick. Hardly got the words out, and he said, easily. Try me.
It's like when you get wives asking their husband, if you was get offered 10 million to kick me as hard as you can in the face, would you? And it's like, I'd do it for 10 grand.
This is because it was when you're watching the scene of your man and he sees his wife and he's trying to shoot, but it's his wife, you know, and he's struggling to pull the trigger.
Oh, in the first episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I wonder could he easily.
Right, it might make me seem heartless.
No, I fully get it. I'm not.
It's not you.
It's not me.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's just my shell.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. I just thought it was hilarious because it was easily. Basically, you leaned in real close to that mic. Easily.
Yeah. No, it's like,
try me.
Won't even blink an eye.
Mm. You were so comfortable. You had thought about it. You'd prepared for this.
Yeah. I have had people saying to me, like, how have you gone so long without not watching it? And it's like, I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, I mean, I watched it years ago. Never finished it. Ended up dropping off. I mean, everyone with The Walking Dead drops off at some point.
Mm.
You know, there is, you know, if you've watched it, let us know when your drop-off point was. I think even the people who did power through, but that's exactly what they're powering through the bad times, you know?
Yeah.
It gets a bit, you know.
You know, it's like with any TV series, if you just Google, like, I didn't want any spoilers, but I Googled which season is classed as the worst for Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I've seen it where they're like 7, 8, and 10. It's like, that's three seasons.
Yeah.
It's usually like, you know, with Sons of Anarchy, season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Done. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Friends is one that, you know, sticks out in my mind. Like, I've watched all the seasons loads of times.
Yeah.
But I actually don't really give a fuck about any of the seasons after 3. 1 is the best, 2 is good, 3 is all right. And then after that, it's like, what are we doing here, lads?
Yeah, for me, it was as soon as Chandler and Monica were at it, I'm done.
As soon as they went, this isn't like an anti-British thing, but as soon as they went to the UK, I was like, what's going on with this show?
Well, that's when Chandler and Monica started going at
that's
it.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, the whole London thing was just fucking annoying. I couldn't be dealing with it. I did appreciate, what's her name? From Absolutely Fabulous, who was in it. What the fuck's her name? Jennifer Saunders.
Yeah.
Do you know when they walk in, like, oh, it's like a fairy tale. She's like, oh, horrible, isn't it? I quote that all the fucking time. She had so few lines compared to the rest of the cast, and she was the best, hands down.
Yeah.
Even Kath and Kim, I love that show. And they didn't run it for too long, knowing that it's going to, you know, you don't want it to fucking expire.
Well, this is right.
And fuck you, Kim. It's a great show. You know, so, just.
I didn't know much about Walking Dead, but the bit what is worrying me is, so when I first saw 11 seasons, I was like, fucking hell. Didn't realize there were 11 seasons.
Mm-hmm. What have you got yourself into?
Yeah, your turn. What?
What have you got yourself into?
Yeah. And then I see Fear of the Walking Dead. And then there's Legends of the Walking Dead. And then there's The Walking Dead fucking...
The after show one they did.
No, they do one. It's like... Walking Dead Origins. There's fucking loads.
Also the video game as well. That's good though.
Well, I'm not on about the games. I'm on about all the different TV shows.
No, I'm just saying it's a whole universe surrounding it.
Yeah, no wonder it fucking died out. It's throwing it in people's faces, like ramming it down the throat.
Hmm. Coral. You did get that out of it though.
I don't think I've heard that, yeah.
Oh. Okay, you've got that to come.
Yeah, didn't you say that's from Fowler?
I haven't watched it for years. I can't fucking remember. But God love the Patreon member that will eventually sign up with the name Carl at some point. Well, we're hoping for that anyway. Yeah. What do you reckon, about a good 30, 40 seconds of screaming Carl down the mic? I've never met a Carl who wasn't an arsehole, actually. That's another name. They're always a dick.
No, when I was a kid growing up, my best friend at school was Kyle.
Have you seen him in more recent years?
No.
Could be at this stage.
So we got a review this week,
mm-hmm.
Which I wanted to tell you and read out on the podcast, because I thought it's one of the most perfect descriptions of this podcast. So the review is from Fat Girl 84,
mm-hmm.
And the title is Lesson Learned. I don't know what that bit is, but that's the title of the review.
Okay.
As unfortunate as it is, I cannot listen to your podcast when my husband is sleeping next to me. Almost every single episode, I burst out laughing and loved the back and forth. And most of all, I love how Megan changes her tone when she is discussing the cases. I love that they are respectful of the cases being covered. I love that Neil will ask questions that some of us might be thinking. I am so happy I came across this podcast. Keep up the great work. And then loads of love hearts. That's the first person who's picked up on the fact that when you're telling the case, like I see it when I'm doing the editing from the sound waves, when you're telling the case, you have one tone.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as we get into conversation, your tone goes up. You start being you. You literally have your phone voice for when you're telling the case.
Mm-hmm.
And actually listening back to episodes, it's really nice to hear, like, you're so professional and saying, yeah, bit of a stretch.
The word bollocks comes out of my mouth a lot, so.
But when you're telling the case, it sounds like proper serious and... And then I chime up with some stupid comment and then you go into Megan. You start being Megan.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do that from the get-go with the podcast. There was one episode in particular, I don't know why, I just ended up telling it in a slightly more serious tone.
Yeah.
And I thought, I kind of like how that sounds, and I think it's kind of...
I think it was
good.
Around Sophie Gerardo, that episode.
If I remember correctly, it was the murder of Marilyn Rinn. When I listened, you were editing and you said to me, oh, you sound really whatever word he used to describe it, of how I was speaking. And I was like, do I? And I listened to it back and I was like, I kind of like how that sounds. It's kind of like storytelling. And then we're just completely going off that to chat some shit.
Yeah.
It's punctuated by a bollocksology.
And not to, you know, polish our own trumpet.
Polish?
Yeah.
Blow.
What?
Blow your own trumpet.
No, it's polish, isn't it? Because it's like not meaning to pull myself off. So it's like not meaning to polish my own trumpet.
Okay, sure.
That's the saying, isn't it?
No, blow your own trumpet.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't mean to blow your own trumpet, blow our trumpet.
Shared. Joint. Yeah. Joint trumpet.
But I was laid awake one night. You were spark out. And I put BuzzFeed Unsolved on. And when I saw how they was doing it, where your man would be telling the case, and then the other one keeps interrupting, and then they get into a conversation, and then he goes back into telling the case. And I was like, that's very similar to how our episodes are now.
Mm.
That's the closest thing I've seen to how we do ours.
Yeah, they are pretty similar to us. Or should I say we're pretty similar to them, because they've been around longer than us.
Yeah, but I didn't watch him before.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. He's still before us. Can't expect, well, I didn't know of that, therefore I'm so great. No, but yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know, I think it's kind of fun just to have the two different tones in it.
Yeah.
Our listeners might disagree. They might go, no, it's a lot of fucking bollocks.
Yeah. Why do you keep doing that stupid voice?
For the sake of storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good review, I think. It actually kind of is going to give someone else a bit of an idea of what the show is like, I suppose.
Yeah.
What they're getting into. Thank you for that. That's a nice review. I'm sorry for your husband, though. You know, you give the man a break.
Just get him in on the joke. Get him listening.
Come on. Get him in. Get a... I hope his name's not Carl now after shitting on it. That's going to be a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is something we could start doing. Reading... Like picking out a review and reading it out. So yeah, always remember, if you're liking the show, leave a rating or a review.
Yeah, we have another shout out to do before you move on. Because I know you get a bit edgy when the starter's getting a bit long.
Yeah.
As I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. They're probably like, come on to fuck.
Yeah, I might put it in the bio on this one. Case starts 20 minutes in.
I like to leave them guessing.
Okay.
That's a bad review right there. No, we have a shout out for a new patron member.
Okay.
Raina.
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 Raina. Yeah, I was trying to think of how to play around with this name. The best I got to was Everybody Loves Raina.
Purple Raina.
Purple Raina. Purple Raina. What else have we got? I Bless the Rainas Down in Africa. There's another one for you.
Fuck is that?
Toto Africa.
What?
Toto Africa.
Total.
The song Africa by Toto?
I don't know what you have. No, don't know it.
You don't know what this song is called Africa?
I think you keep saying Total Africa.
Toto's the group. That's the band.
Right.
Africa's the song.
Are they from Africa?
What are we doing here, Neil?
Raina, Raina.
It's hard to hold a candle in the cold November Raina. Huh? Huh? November Raina? What else we got? What else is rain in the title? Come on now. Got another one.
Purple Raina.
You already said it.
Raina.
Oh, Raina on me, Lady Gaga. Yeah? Huh? Raina drops keep falling on me head.
That's her name.
Raina Drops.
Raina Drops.
Okay. Thank you, Raina Drops. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, what you got for us today?
Well, after all that bollocksology, we'll actually get into the case. Now, I'm sorry, lads. Today, we are going to be talking about Mr. Krull.
Are you a podcaster? Or a YouTuber or something?
Mr. Ballin, is that what you're thinking of?
No. Dr. Death, I think I'm thinking of.
Not even the same title.
No.
Mr. Krull is the lead suspect in at least 9 attacks during the late 80s and early 90s in Melbourne. But there are 4 that involve the sexual assault, kidnap and murder of young girls that police are positive were perpetrated by Mr. Krull. Mr. Krull was methodical and incredibly meticulous. He most likely stalked his victims in the run-up to his crimes.
He was what?
Meticulous.
Well, we'll come back to that. I mean the other one.
Methodical.
Yeah.
He planned everything out.
Using the big words for no reason. What's the first one?
Meticulous.
What's that?
He was incredibly thorough. He followed everything through.
Okay.
So he planned everything out. And then when he was in the middle of his crimes, he was very careful about like how he left the scene.
Leaving DNA and... Okay.
His crimes were responsible for the largest police investigation and manhunt that Australia had ever seen.
See, Australia's not really known for, like, serial killers and stuff.
They have a few.
Oh, do they?
Australia have some pretty well-known and, I'd say, fairly brutal cases.
Oh, right. It's just, you always think America.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
They're always kind of the big boys.
Yeah.
On the 22nd of August, 1987, in Lower Plenty, at 4 a.m, Mr. Krull enters a family of 4's home through the living room window. An 11-year-old girl was in her bed as a man wearing a balaclava, armed with a knife and gun, enters. Her parents, who were asleep in their room, had been bound and gagged with electrical tape before being forced into a wardrobe. He had also tied her 6-year-old brother to his bed. He sexually assaults the girl over the course of a few hours and uses a radio to drown out any attempts for her to scream for help.
Fucking hell.
You're going to get a little bit of deja vu here. After this, he heads to the kitchen and makes himself a snack.
Oh, like the Japanese one?
The Japanese case and also the railroad killer.
Yes.
He did the same. Following this, he bathes the girl to remove any forensic evidence. He then leaves the family home.
Fucking hell.
His next attack would take place over a year later. On the 27th of December, 1988, at 5:30 a.m, Mr. Krull approaches a home in Ringwood. He manages to push the key that was in the door out of the lock, and it drops onto a newspaper which he had positioned underneath the door. He again wears a balaclava with white stitching around the mouth and eyes. He goes to the parents first. He bounds their hands with copper wire and blindfolds and gags them with electrical tape. He then cuts the phone lines.
Oh, wait, so he dropped the key onto the newspaper so he could pull the newspaper under the door to get the key?
Yes.
It's actually pretty clever.
Mm.
But that wouldn't work.
He was a meticulous, methodical bastard.
But that wouldn't really work now because you wouldn't get a key under a door.
Yeah, a lot of doors have an actual, this seal kind of thing around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were they living in, a shed?
Well, this was the 80s.
Yeah. But like the house I grew up in as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was built in the 60s. And you wouldn't have been able to pull a key on the... It's very strange. To have a gap that much, that's letting heat out, that.
Well, you're absolutely right. Actually, that is something to consider.
That's why I'm here.
He makes his way to their 10-year-old daughter's room. And this time, he takes her out of the family home. He takes her to an unknown location and begins the sexual assault. This girl was held by Mr. Krull for 18 hours. So, a horrifying level of escalation to not keep his crimes contained to one location. And given the time of day, it wasn't that early. There was every chance of people already being up and out, you know, on their way to work or out for a walk or a run.
Yeah.
That's quite terrifying to me.
And they wouldn't link it to the other crime because there's a year apart and one was in the house and one was out.
Mm.
And for a longer period of time.
At around midnight, a woman spots the young girl walking down the street. Mr. Krull had dropped her by a high school in the Bayswater area near an electrical substation, not too far from her home where she had been taken. She was clothed in bin bags, and she had been bathed. He'd also made the girl brush her teeth. 3rd of July 1990 in Canterbury, a year and a half later. A 15 and 13-year-old are home alone while their parents attend a party. At 11:30 p.m, the girls are awoke by Mr. Krull standing in their room.
Fuck that.
He's armed with a knife, and he ties up the older of the two girls. He then tells the 13-year-old girl to get her school uniform. He cuts the phone lines and leaves the 15-year-old in the home and abducts the 13-year-old. During this ordeal, the 13-year-old girl was held for 50 hours and sexually assaulted repeatedly.
Fucking hell.
So each time it's escalating. He's getting more brave with the time frame.
Yeah. He's living up to his surname, isn't he?
So after the 50 hours, when he releases her, he leaves her only a few kilometres from the family's home, still bound and blindfolded, and right by another electrical substation. On the 13th of April, 1991, in Templestowe, 13-year-old Carmen Chan is at home babysitting her two younger sisters. She does so as her parents, Phyllis and John, are at work in one of their restaurants located just 10 minutes away. Now, their house is fairly secure on first impression. They have an electric gate and the property is surrounded by a 2-metre-high fence. Undeterred by this, Mr. Krull makes his way onto the property and enters the home in his signature balaclava, wielding a knife. He tells Carmen's sister that he was just looking for money. He then forces her sisters into a cupboard and then drags Carmen out of the house by her hair. Carmen was never seen alive again.
There's something I'm getting from this already. You're not even that far into it. He's obviously studying these houses before. Because the look of him getting out all these houses with no parents in them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what I said at the start. You know, he planned everything out. I mean, for sure he was stalking each victim.
Yeah. Okay, so what you're telling me is I didn't work anything out, you told me.
I did tell you, yeah. Okay. Right at the top of the episode. Now, there's a connection to Carmen and the third girl who had been subjected to Mr. Krull's abuse. She and Carmen both attended the same school, the Presbyterian Ladies' College, located across the road from an electrical substation.
Why is it always an electrical substation?
Well, it's a bit of a theme in this case.
And what is an electrical substation?
I don't even know.
Is it like where electric comes from?
So an electrical substation is basically like, you know, when you see all the generators and shit.
Like the old...
Like a power station, I suppose we would probably commonly refer to it as.
Like the old British ads where it's like...
Yeah, like Billy's, like, and that music.
Yeah.
When
a kid's ball went over the fence, so he goes to get the ball and blows himself up.
It'll put the shits up you. So after the abduction of Carmen, the investigation really ramps up. Police as well as the public are panicking at this point. He's escalating and it's terrifying. People are making sure they're locking their doors, their windows, they're staying in at night, but this is part of the issue. He's invading your home.
Yeah.
Your home should be your safe zone. A task force is set up comprised of dozens of detectives called Operation Spectrum. During their investigation, over 11,000 leads are investigated, a staggering 27,000 suspects interviewed, and 30,000 homes searched. And this was at a cost of $3.8 million.
Fucking hell.
Mm.
But then again, yeah, because I know they're all in Melbourne, but in these different areas, are they like spread out across Melbourne? Because Melbourne's big.
Sorry, what'd you say?
So I know they're all in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
But like, are all these in different areas of Melbourne? So it's a massive area to cover.
So that is part of the investigation. The girls were taken to an unknown location. So yeah, they're trying to weed it out and find out where exactly he's traveling from. Obviously, they have the kids' homes.
Yeah.
But where is he going from there? Hundreds of billboards displayed the message, quote, "Child abductions, police need your help." And they also displayed photos of the girls. These posters were plastered across buses and trams. They were also sent to every home in Victoria, offering a reward of $300,000 for information leading to a conviction.
See? 300 grand. Yeah, but that's what I was saying about... what case was it when they offered 10 grand? And I was like, you need to offer more than that.
Mm.
Oh, we didn't cover it. It was when we was on that 24-hour podcast for real.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing that case.
Yeah, Kendrick Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a 10 grand reward. And it's like, if you'd have upped that, mm-hmm, that case would probably be solved.
After Carmen had been missing for 70 hours, Phyllis Chan, Carmen's mother, wrote a letter to Mr. Krull through the media. She pleaded with him to release Carmen, as he had done with other girls. The letter contained a code that only Carmen would be able to understand. The code was the number of a P.O. box, where she was prepared to exchange a ransom. Her sisters also wrote letters. Quote, "I would like her back, because then she can help me with my homework, and also take good care of my little sister and me."
Wait, that was your plea to get her back? I need help with my homework?
It's her younger sister's.
Oh, okay.
You feel like a shy talk now, don't you? On the 9th of April, 1992, a skull was found by a man walking his dog near an electrical substation. It was the remains of 13-year-old Carmen. Her body was found just 4 days prior to the first anniversary of her abduction.
So all they need to do is go to these electrical companies and look for someone with the surname Krull.
His name's not actually Krull.
Oh. Oh.
Don't you think I would have called him by his first name by now?
I did wonder. I thought you just thought it sounded cool to call him Mr. Krull.
No, not so much.
Oh.
Mr. Krull was the name given to him by the media.
Oh. You can see where I went wrong.
Carmen's body had been buried in a landfill area, and the recovery took about 24 hours to complete.
Oh, yeah, because it's supposed to be, like, I didn't realise this.
It's very difficult.
It's dangerous because mm-hmm. of gases and stuff like... There's been bodies what have been left out there, knowing they're there.
Yeah, and even in areas where it's not quite as much of a risk, like you're saying, because of the actual toxicity, it's also just a big undertaking to have to dig through to recover. Especially, like I said, we're just short of a year on at this point. During an autopsy, it was determined that Carmen had been shot 3 times to the back of the head. It has been argued that for sex offenders that specifically target children, this is a more unlikely method of murder. And it adds a shadow of doubt as to if Mr. Krull committed this crime. One theory stated by Detective Charlie Bezina is that Carmen had probably seen his face, and he panicked. Remember, Mr. Krull is incredibly thorough, and this would have had him absolutely shook.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think the reason why she's dead is she saw him. She knows who it is.
Well, again, if we're going with this theory and she's seen his face, she's ruined his plans.
Yeah.
And not only may he have killed her to protect his identity, but there's also an element of overkill. 3 shots to the back of the head. Could this be down to him feeling as though he had lost control over the situation? Now, not everyone is convinced by this theory, but he has also escalated in each subsequent attack. So is it that hard to believe?
Yeah, because even the length of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we won 50 hours.
50 hours was the abduction just before. The third girl to be abducted. I think there's also something to be said for, you know, if you do believe Carmen was a victim of the Mr. Krull attacks, that she was the final victim. Did he feel as though even he had gone too far by actually killing one of these girls?
Mm.
Was he distraught at what he had done? Or possibly devastated that this hadn't panned out and had ruined his meticulous planning? In his mind, his twisted fantasy is over. It's broken.
Yeah.
Now, although the location is unknown, the second girl to be subjected to Mr. Krull's attack did remember the sound of airplanes, specifically the sound of them landing. Given this and the distance she estimated they had travelled, they were able to determine the location being adjacent to Tullamarine Airport. With this, they narrowed down Mr. Krull's safe house to the northeast of Melbourne. She was also able to recall the bathroom. The basin was either wall-mounted or on a pedestal, and the shower had sliding glass doors with a separate bath. She also noted that his car sounded like an older model. Now, I don't think there's any reason to be slagging him off for having an older car. We can't all afford a 2.5-fucking-2 plate. During the third attack, while being held by Mr. Krull, this girl also hears the sound of airplanes. She recalls having heard between 7 and 9 planes landing before 10 a.m. that morning. With further information as to the flights, they believe that his location is southern to the flight path. They were able to determine this based on wind patterns and how the sound would travel for them to be able to describe the sound so distinctly. Both of the girls who had been taken to a different location also said that they had been tied to a bed. During the investigation, David Spragg, who headed Operation Spectrum, had let it be known that he was less than impressed with how some of the investigation had been handled. Quote, "The crime scene was not preserved as it should have been. We had a lot of problems with it. Unfortunately, the initial police member in charge had set up the command post inside the house. It was a disaster, with people stomping around all over the place. They didn't seal the crime scene off as they should have."
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Insane. Absolutely
putting it
fucking
in the
insane.
House.
Mm-hmm.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So you've got this fucking guy who was already so fucking thorough and planning everything out, like knowing to remove any forensic evidence.
Yeah.
And these fuckers are just destroying anything that could possibly be left.
You've got to remember as well, this is in Australia, so they're all sweating the tits off. So there's sweat and DNA fucking getting splattered all over the fucking place. Have you seen them?
I couldn't do Australia. It's too hot for me.
No.
20 degrees over here and I'm dying.
Yeah.
It's about 23 degrees in here at the moment and I'm... Jeez.
Yeah. We had to sit with two windows open for a bit before we could even record.
With an already incredibly elusive suspect, potential evidence may have been destroyed. Now, what is the crack with this lad and electric?
He works on it.
Well, it's not just the substations we have to think about, yeah? Don't forget about copper wire. He used copper wire to tie up the parents during the second home invasion.
Because an electrician.
Well, did he work as an electrician, or did he just use these as a red herring?
What do you mean?
To throw you off the scent. He's...
Oh, double he's bluffing.
Yeah. Maybe he's got a gripe with some electrician, he's trying to set him up or something.
Yeah.
Could be.
He's an electrician.
Now, behind... You think electrician?
Yeah.
Behind the house of the second girl who was abducted was electrical towers. As one of their neighbours said...
I know it. I know the answer. How he's able to monitor these houses, to study paths and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on these towers near properties. So you wouldn't suspect him. He's up on the tower and he's watching.
I wish you would wait until I just said this bit.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean just for your sake.
Oh.
Just to further it, but also kind of destroy what you just said.
Okay.
So as one of their neighbours said, you don't go to that area. You know, I said behind the house.
Yeah.
Where the electrical towers are. You don't go to that area. It's a no-through road. The only people who really went there or knew about the access to the back of the houses were the people who lived there. Now, about 6 weeks prior to the second girl being abducted, the brothers of one of this girl's friends had witnessed a man in that area with a video camera. He was in the area of the electrical towers filming the girl's house over the fence.
So he's not that smart.
Well, this is very odd. This is very odd behaviour, regardless. Yeah. This man was said to have been approximately 30 to 35 years of age, slightly heavier build, round face, and his hair was medium brown, slightly longer on the sides, but balding on top.
They're just slagging him rotten, aren't they?
They really are.
So he's fat with a round head, and he's balding.
Who's Mr. Cruel now?
And I'm sorry, but how the hell do you say that? Oh, looks between 30 and 35. I'm 36. I've had people guess I'm 18. I've had people say mid-20s is what I usually get. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I wasn't there, didn't see him arsing about the gaff.
Mm.
But you also have to factor in it was like kids saying that.
Yeah.
I feel like kids are going to look at someone who's, you know, 30 and they could be 45 to them.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, that kind of like I've heard kids say that a lot. And it's like, what age are you?
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, there was some fella there with a video camera,
some
very
fat
concerned.
Guy with a round head.
Balding on the top. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
As he notices the boys, it was said that he appeared shocked. He'd been startled in the middle of whatever he was doing.
Mm.
So again, not great. So it's highly likely that this was a Mr. Cruel sighting. But if it wasn't, you know, I'm not hugely surprised. You know, I mean, this guy's going to be shook over getting caught. He was, you know, just at least a dirty pervert peeping over someone's fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's Mr. Cruel, but either way, it's not fucking great.
Mm.
Now, as far as the electrical connection goes, you think electrician.
Yeah.
I personally think it's a misdirection. With how meticulous he was, it doesn't make sense to me for him to leave a glaringly obvious connection to his job or interest or, you know, whatever it may have been.
Hmm.
There was also five other girls attacked previously to the ones undoubtedly linked to him. One being a 14-year-old girl who was abducted in 1985. She was taken from her home and assaulted by a man wearing a balaclava and carrying a knife. She was then released near, you guessed it, an electrical substation.
And he'd be like in his 20s then, if it's the guy with the camera.
No, so that was just a couple years prior. Well, I mean, he could have been, depending on whether
mid-20s.
He was... Yeah, I was thinking of the higher end, 35, yeah. Yeah, he could have been.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some of the evidence that could possibly help link these cases had been lost or disposed of. The same goes for records of previous offenders. Given the advances in forensics, it's incredibly disappointing, as one of the pieces of evidence was tape that he had used to bound the girl. The amount of evidence, it's literally sticking to tape.
Yeah.
And that's gone. That could have been the golden fucking ticket.
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
So given the previous fumbles, it made the job of detectives working on Operation Spectrum that much more challenging, and I'm sure unbelievably frustrating. The good that did come from this is that it triggered a review and forced them to implement a new set of standards going forward.
What should have already been there?
I would like to think so. Charlie Bezina, who I previously mentioned earlier with the theory as to the death of Carmen, he's a homicide detective who has previously worked on over 150 homicides, and that includes the case of Mr. Krull. He stated that when working on a case, you're usually handed, he said, about a half dozen folders. When working on the Mr. Krull case, he was shown into a 3x3 room filled from floor to ceiling.
Fucking hell.
Mm.
So they have got a lot of evidence.
They've got loads, because you got to think 27,000 suspects, over 11,000 leads.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then you think of the evidence that, again, with the advancements in science.
Yeah. So looking at the odds, the betting odds, they interviewed Mr. Krull.
Yeah, high, high likelihood. Tim Watson Munro, a criminal psychologist who provided a profile of Mr. Krull, spoke of how it affected the community at the time. He had young kids himself, and he remembers Mr. Krull being the boogeyman of the area.
I bet he fucking was.
Tim believes that Mr. Krull was struggling, in a sense, with what he was doing. Although he would let them go, he was committing these terrible acts against children. And in between these attacks, it was said that his demeanour would change. He was described as being somewhat kind to the children. And even, you know, when he bathed them, it was said as being more like a mother washing a baby. It was more...
Oh, it weren't like, get it scrubbed up.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I have to destroy all evidence. It was almost in that moment, it was all, I mean, I don't even want to use the word to describe, but almost a more nurturing approach to it. He was also said to have behaved in a sort of playful manner and attempted to have a laugh with these kids. Now, I would assume to disarm them, or it was his way of acknowledging what he did and that it wasn't right and trying to ease the situation.
A bit like with me talking about these cases.
Basically, yeah. But I mean, you got to remember, this information is coming from these girls who were put through this.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to say, yeah, it didn't feel like this, it felt kind of playful, or it felt like nurturing, or, you know, it's, I kind of agree with them that it's, he's clearly struggling with what he's doing.
So it's like a need more than a want.
It does seem more that kind of...
It's
not like
this.
I really want to hurt you. It's that I have this urge and I'm not doing...
fix.
I'm not doing anything to get help for it. I'm just going to do it in secret instead.
So that's why there's such big gaps. It's like I've got my fix.
I mean, possibly.
That's horrible.
I mean, possibly, but I mean, it's very big gaps in between considering.
Yeah.
Now, it is also thought that Mr. Krull most likely would have taken photographs or videos of the assaults, and that he would probably keep them as souvenirs of his crimes or even trading them with other individuals. He also probably would have followed the news for any mention of his crimes. In January of 1994, the Spectrum Task Force ceased operation after nearly 3 years. Following this, they were informed that if there was any further child abductions, that all suspects that remained from the investigation were to be taken in for questioning. During their time on the force, detectives had travelled over 900,000 kilometres around Australia, conducted interviews with individuals in both the US and Britain, and worked over 25,000 hours overtime, unpaid.
Fucking hell.
And although they were unable to apprehend Mr. Krull, their efforts did see 74 people charged with offences. These included sexual assault, incest, blackmail, possession of firearms, making obscene phone calls, threats to kill, attempted bestiality, and possession of child pornography.
Some good did come out of it then.
Yeah. I mean, it's the amount of effort, the amount of money, energy, everything that's been put into this, it is horrific.
Mm.
They didn't get the result, but look, they're still doing good, they're still moving in the right direction and
yeah,
apprehending some shitehawks. It's quite a range as well, you know? That, like, the making obscene phone calls, I want to know how far of a sliding scale that is,
yeah. You
know? Because some of the stuff on that list is just fucking horrific. But making obscene phone calls, like, how big of a spectrum is that? In April of 2016, 25 years after the death of Carmen, the Victoria Police raised the reward offered to $1 million. In regards to the many, many people suspected of being Mr. Krull, one of the suspects who was more convincing was a man named Robert Keith Knight. Robert was jailed in 1998 for the abduction and sexual assault of two 12-year-old girls, the first being in 1980 and the second in 1996. With both attacks, the children were sexually assaulted and photographed. The latter was also drugged. Given that these incidents were 16 years apart, and Robert was said to have shown no remorse for what he had done, it's likely he had committed other sex offences during that period.
Yeah.
Also, his job. Robert was a youth worker, as well as a volunteer with the Scouts. So, he had close contact with countless children.
See, I thought you were going to say electrician.
I don't think that's anything. I feel like maybe his father was, or his brother. He had some knowledge of it.
Yeah.
But I think that's as far as it goes. I don't think it had any connection to him. It just doesn't make sense for him to be that fucking thorough with everything. But then he's like, well, I'm just going to leave this glaringly obvious thing.
Yeah. See, I think if I was a cop, do you know what I'd have done? It's not that I would have give up looking in Australia, but one of my tactics would have been when the body was found, and it was put out there, but the body was found.
Mm-hmm.
Try and find records of anyone who's emigrated from Australia, to, like, fled.
Well, they did interview people in the US and the UK.
Yeah, but I thought that was, like, interviewing experts to get...
No, suspects.
Oh.
Well, it might have been experts as well. But I would assume it's people who have left the country, who had a record.
Right, okay.
In and around that time, you know. Now, back to Robert, the shy talk.
Mm-hmm.
Horrific, what he did.
Yeah.
Robert was released in March of 2009.
How?
How? Do you want me to do you one better?
Go on.
Police said that Robert began reoffending almost immediately. 6 days after his release, to be precise.
Shoot him.
In 2013, Robert was arrested and charged with possession of close to 10,000 child pornography images.
Fucking hell.
While being held, Robert, at the age of 62, died by suicide after jumping from the upper tier of his prison unit. Now, I don't know if you're convinced that Robert is Mr. Cruel or not. How are you feeling about that?
Well, if he adds 10,000 images,
mm-hmm.
is this what he's just collected, or is it his photo? Like, are some of them clearly photos he's taken?
Well, they don't go into detail. They just say he had close to 10,000.
It's like, was there any of the victims from Mr. Cruel in them photos?
I mean, I'm going to assume not, because that probably would have been released.
Oh, yeah.
Where I kind of land on this, I mean, I think the theory that Robert could have been the man behind the tax is shaky at best. The only thing that makes me lean towards him is that his first attack, you know, that we know of, is 1980. And then the last one, you know, for which he was arrested and charged for,
yeah.
was 96. So we're within that time frame. But yeah. that's about it. How many other sex offenders are operating in that area at that time?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Robert showed no remorse for his crimes, which seems quite contradictory to the behaviour that Mr. Cruel exhibited towards these girls. But, with that said, police still can't definitively rule him out. To this day, we still do not have any real answers as to the true identity of who Mr. Cruel is. Is he still alive? Is he in prison for other offences? Did police speak with him and just didn't have enough evidence to go forward? If the theory involving the death of Carmen is to be believed, that he lost control, could he have taken his life following his botched abduction that ended in murder? Sadly for these young girls and their families, we may never know. And that is the case of Mr. Cruel.
So, do the police know if they'd interviewed him in the investigation for Mr. Cruel? You know, they've been like investigating sex offenders and what have you. Had they interviewed him?
Well, yeah, because he's a suspect.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense then.
I don't know, this case kind of reminded me of like a Australian version of Beast of Jersey.
I was thinking that earlier.
Just this horrifying figure. Now, obviously, we found out who he was in the end, but this horrifying figure.
Mask.
Just
intruder.
Terrorizing these children.
Yeah.
Horrible. It's really sad that there's no closure for these girls or their family. Detective Chris O'Connor even spoke about telling one of the girls' fathers that one day he will be able to tell them that they had caught Mr. Cruel. And unfortunately, her father passed away without ever finding out the truth.
Yeah. Fucking hell. So it seems very slim, but they'll ever get him.
Yeah, I mean, they've basically said at this stage, it's a case of the offender or someone they know who has information slipping up or something. And
for £1 million, no. But that's that. So it's like I've said before about, you know, raising it, you know, make it worth people's while. But that can actually do harm to a case if you think about it as well, because some people will be like, I win £1 million.
Yeah.
And you'd just be getting loads of bullshit coming through.
Yeah. That is the thing. It's a massive, massive concern. There's no right or wrong, really, is there?
No.
It's just a shit show all around. But that, it's a terrifying case. Even the name is kind of, I don't know why they picked that name. It's very scary to a kid, I think. Mr. Cruel.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, the media loves to do stuff like that.
Like, it's the Mr. thing.
That's why I thought it was his name. Fuck's sake.
Well, I mean, when you get names like, you know, the Butcher of something, or the Vampire of...
The Ripper.
Yeah, the Ripper, fucking Night Stalker, all this shit. And then Mr. Cruel is kind of... It's not so much scary as it is so intensely creepy.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
No, not about it.
I can't believe it took that for people to lock the fucking doors. Lock your doors.
I mean, like years ago, people weren't as quick to do it though, were they? But the problem is with this, that is the area he's targeting. Leave your fucking windows wide open, lock them down. He's still trying to get into your home. He's still stalked you and monitored your property to find out the best way in. Like that whole thing of knocking the key out and putting on the paper, you know, to land on the paper and drag it out. It's so simple, but it's just the forethought with that. Nah, fuck that. Fuck this guy. What are your thoughts anyway? Do you think he's probably in prison for something else? Do you think maybe he's dead by now? What do you reckon?
I think it might be him.
Robert Keith Knight?
Who killed himself. And that's why... I'm only saying that because of when he first offended and when he last offended.
Yes, the time frame, yeah.
With a 16-year gap of not doing anything, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact, but nothing happened after that. Like, the crime stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it were him. But the only thing what's putting me off it is the fact of how... feels wrong to say, but how considerate he was after.
I know what you mean. It's like I used the word nurturing and I felt about using
it.
Yeah.
But how he can do that and then not show any remorse for the crimes he was caught for. But was that to throw off the scent? It's like, right, they've got me on these two, but they haven't linked me to them yet.
Mm.
So I'm going to be completely opposite to how I was with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that, actually. I think it's him.
You're saying Robert Keith Knight is your guess?
Yeah.
I think I'm leaning more towards after the murder of Carmen, I think he may have took his own life. I think he was probably devastated after that went wrong. And I think he probably was devastated that he had actually killed Carmen.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, between the panic of actually committing murder and then also just the intense just upset that his plans had been ruined.
Mm.
He had lost control. I personally think that's where we're at.
Yeah.
But lads, let us know. You're leaning towards Neil's side of it or mine, or do you have a completely different theory?
Yeah. They never agree with me.
Well, they
hardly
might.
Hardly ever.
My theory isn't as satisfying. Because if it's just that the prick's dead, you know what I mean? But then again, the guy that you think it is dead as well. That's really hard because you know they're never going to face justice.
Yeah.
You know?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111 and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, you've bummed me out anyway. So we'll do an oddity.
Oddity. Plastinization.
Plastin what?
Plastinization.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
No.
No, I didn't think you would be.
Got something to do with plastic?
Yes, it does, actually. So, plastinization, first developed in 1977, plastinization is a method used to preserve a body by removing fluids and fats and replacing them with plastics, specifically for education and training purposes. You okay?
Yeah.
Are you happy about this or upset?
Like, how many fucking things can they do to bodies?
I thought you'd like this one because it's the more scientific side of it. It's kind of, we're getting an education.
Are you going to say that when you go in a doctor's office and they've got the fucking body with all the limbs hanging out, all their organs hanging out, it's this?
No.
Oh. Okay. Because I've played with them.
No, that's not a real person.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Okay.
Well, that would just be plastic molds.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's very interesting for an oddity. We'll save that for next week, Neil. So the process contains 5 steps, the first of which is fixation. During fixation, formaldehyde or a similar preservative solution is pumped through the arteries. This takes about 3 to 4 hours to complete. And this step is to kill bacteria and prevent decomposition. The second step is to remove water and fat. The body is placed into an acetone bath in freezing conditions. This draws out water and soluble fats are dissolved.
That acetone is cold. I got it on my finger. And what was I doing? I can't remember what I was doing with it. I think I was using it to remove super glue.
Mm.
And it's fucking cold.
Yeah, turn your whole finger white as well.
Like, yeah.
You were shook over it. I gave you my acetone to use. And I thought you knew that acetone was very strong and to be careful with it. And you just basically dunked your whole hand into it. And I was like, what the fuck did you just do? You were just getting a jump start. You didn't know at the time, but it was a bit of the old plastinization. Step 3. Forced impregnation.
What?
Without knowing the sus, that title sounds awful.
They're getting a corpse pregnant.
No. No. Don't think of like reproductive impregnation type thing. Just the act of impregnating. Do you get what I mean?
What are they shoving in there then?
What?
What are they shoving in there then?
Okay, so this step, forced impregnation, is essentially what plastinization is. The process takes between 2 to 5 weeks. And what actually happens at this stage is the body is placed in a bath of liquid polymer. So silicone, rubber, polyester, or epoxy resin.
Yeah.
After being placed into a vacuum chamber, the acetone begins to vaporize and leaves the cells. And this allows the liquid polymer to begin penetrating through the cells. So that's the forced impregnation. They're forcing it into the cells.
Okay.
You okay? Can you relax now? You look so upset right now.
What's all this for?
What?
What's all this for?
I'll tell you now in a minute.
Oh.
The fourth stage of plastinization is positioning. After forced impregnation, the body is pliable. With the help of wires, needles, clamps, and foam blocks, the body can be adjusted to the position needed.
For what?
For education and training. Your face right now. This is why they do this to the body, to use them for training.
Training for what? Am I missing something here? What? Training for what?
People in the medical field. People need to learn about the body.
But I thought that's the whole point of having cadavers.
Yeah, but we're also okay, how do I explain it? So I'm not in this field. I can't give you the most detailed, you know, breakdown of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what I'm just here talking shit on a podcast. If we're to, so say if it was someone studying anatomy and physiology for the purpose of becoming a, what do you call it?
What lung expert.
No, well, possibly. No, but what's the word? So say a person is studying anatomy and physiology for the purpose of becoming a personal trainer.
Okay.
So they can position a body, say it was like, you know, mid-sprint or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see how the tendons and shit are moving at that point. How they're tensing or how they are at that exact moment of movement.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of effort to teach someone how to run.
Well, of course, to correctly position them. Fuck's
sake. Did you know this one was going to be triggering?
I didn't even think it was. I thought you were just going to. I thought we were going to blitz through this one.
Sorry.
So, of course, to correctly position the body requires a high level of anatomical knowledge. And this process can take months to get right. The fifth and final stage is curing. In order to complete the process of plastinization, the body will be cured using either gas, light, or heat, depending on the polymer used. This is the final stage in protecting against decay. From start to finish, dissection and plastinization adds up to about 1,500 hours and takes about a year to complete.
For one body?
Yeah.
Seems a bit fucking much, doesn't it?
Do you not think that's fucking fascinating?
No, because I don't know what they're doing with it.
I've actually seen bodies who've been put through the plastinization process.
You can look at it.
No. I mean, I've actually been to an exhibition. So I came upon plastinization. I was like, oh, that's a fucking deadly oddity. We're totally doing that, yeah?
Where was I?
What?
Where was I?
Oh, this was years ago. This was like over 15 years ago I went to it, yeah?
Okay.
So do you remember the Bodies exhibition?
What? No. What Bodies exhibition?
There used to be an exhibition called, I mean, there's multiple ones. I mean, the one I went to was the Bodies exhibition. That one seemed to be fucking everywhere a few years back. Okay. And by a few years, I mean over 15 years ago. It's still going. But that was an exhibition where they display the bodies in various poses and shit like that. Yeah, you just go in and see them. It was fascinating. It was so cool to see.
Nah, it wouldn't be for me, though.
What do you mean it wouldn't be for you?
I wouldn't be interested in seeing that.
Why?
I like seeing like weapons and stuff.
You're not into...
And like old pots and plates.
Just you're not into anatomy and physiology.
What?
That's why you kept going to the point you got to cutlery. No interest in anatomy and physiology, no?
No. No, I don't.
What about
so.
When you're doing boxing? If you were still in the midst of boxing... Do you think you would have found it more interesting or you just don't give a fuck how your body works as long as it gets you from A to B?
So like, about like twisting your ankle, like rolling your ankle, it's hard to, I've shown you, it's hard to describe over a mic.
Yeah, we'll try it. Try to do it.
But like, when you throw a straight.
Yeah.
When you throw your power straight.
Yeah.
Your back foot, you roll it over.
So rotate it like.
Yes. Yeah, that's rotate it.
Yeah.
To get that extra distance mm-hmm. and a bit of extra momentum.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that in plastic to fucking...
Well, it's a body.
What?
I sound like Don Vito there. It's a body that's been preserved, but it's an actual body.
Yeah, but I don't... All I needed was someone to say to me, rotate your ankle as you throw the punch.
No, but you can see inside, you can see the muscles and tendons and the arteries and shit.
I don't need to see, but I...
Why are you sound like Don Vito now.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
From Viva La Bam.
Oh, we shouldn't be talking about him. he's got some charges, hasn't he?
I think they were dismissed, but yeah.
Okay. I don't see the obsession with this.
You don't find it interesting at all, no?
No. I think...
You're happy as long as your doctor goes and sees it. You're like, well, that's good enough for me. I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would I need to see that?
I just think it's really fucking interesting to have, like, to see it. Like, to have a knowledge of it and to fucking understand how our bodies work. No?
No.
As long as it gets you from A to B, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope our listeners found it more interesting than me.
I hope to fuck, because otherwise we're shot to shit here. Shutting up shop.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.